Today's shiur is Daf Yud Zayin, and we're going to begin on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Darush Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu Shmuel. But just to review what we had learned at the end of the shiur yesterday, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis had discussed a area with poor partitions just made out of ropes. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said, as explained in the Brice that we learned at the end of the shiur, that a caravan is allowed as much space as required even when it has these inferior partitions, but an individual is limited to two beisah. The Chacham held that a caravan and an individual have the same din, they are allowed as much space as required. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, paskined that neither a caravan nor an individual is allowed unlimited area, but that one or two people are limited to one base saw, to base sign, that's two saw, and a three becomes a caravan, becomes a shiara, and they get six base saw. Darush of Nachman Shurim Ben Shmuel, Yochid Noisen Loi Beis Asayim, an individual gets two saw, Beis, two people, Noisen Loi Beis Asayim, get two saw, Gimel, Nasa Shiora, a three become the status of a caravan, the Noisen Loi Beis Shoh and Sheish, and they get six Beis saw, which is the way Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Paskind. So they asked him, Shafkist Rabbonon, V'Avdis Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, have you ignored the psak of the Rabbanan that you're now going to pass like Rav Yosef Yehuda? Hada oikim Rav Nachman Amarek Eloi V'darish. So Rav Nachman went and took a speaker in front of him and said, Dvarm Shamati Lufnechem Tosem B'yodai. What I previously had said was an error. Brach Kach Amru. This is what they said. Yochad Noisna Beis Asayim. An individual gets the Beis Asayim. Shnaim Noisna Beis Asayim. Shloisha Nasa Shiora, when you have already three people, they have a din of a caravan, for Nasna Kalzachim to give them as much space as they need. Ask the Gemara, Reisha, in this psak, we're only solving part of the problem. Because Reisha, he's still paskening, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that one or two individuals are limited to only two beis saw, which is what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda said, only in the Sefer, when there are three people, now he's retracting and saying, Noislam Kaltzarch, we give them as much room as they need. Says the Gemara, in. Yes, this was his psak. B'shum dekoy avuy b'shitzei. Because Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that by one or two people we only give a base saw. So when we're paskening that by one or two people we only give them two saw, the halacha is not just like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's also like Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have two people passing that way, we could continue that way. Amrav Gidl, Amrav. Shloish b'chamesh. Sometimes three people are not allowed to carry even in an area of five beisah. Shloish b'chamesh asurim. Sometimes you have three people in an area of five beisah and asurim, they're going to be usher to carry there. And sometimes B'sheva, there are seven beisah on matarim, and they can carry in that area. Again, we repeat that we're dealing with an area that has these inferior partitions. Amrulay, so they ask, Amrav Hachi, did Rav really say this psak? Amlahu, so Rav Gidl answered, Araisa Navi Iksivi, I could swear by the Torah, by the Navim, by the Ksuvim, the Amrav Hachi. The Rav said this. Now, what is the question? The question is that really, this is the way the Ritva explains the Gemara, if we're dealing with three people, so three people, we said, have a din of a shayara, and they each get a base saw. So if they each get base saw, but sasayim as a minimum, we should have six amma. Why is there a problem in this case? Aravashi, my kasha. What was the back and forth? This is what he meant. if three people require an area of 6 beisah, v'kifu b'sheva, and then they gave him 7 beisah with these poor partitions, afil b'sheva mutarim, then it's mutar. Because since they only took 1 beisah more than they needed, it's not a problem. However, if they only needed 5 beisah, v'kifu b'sheva, and then they took 7, so they took more than they needed, afil b'chamish asurim, then it's us to carry even in the 5 that they need. Ask the Gemara, Val Hadukani, this that we learned in the Braisa, Uvachalei Beisa Sayim Pani, that you're not allowed to have an area of 2 Beisah that's left open. My laugh, Pani Me'adam, doesn't mean that there's no people there. Meaning, as we said before, since we're dealing with 3 people, and each person gets 2 saw, so we already have 6 saw accounted for. We're also saying now that we give you 2 saw above what's needed. So ask the Gemara, why, if there are 3 people, is there a problem with 7 people? There shouldn't be a problem. Says the Gemara, loy. What it means is, pani mekalim. When we look at how much area is needed, it's not looking at the people and saying that every person is entitled to 2 saw, and therefore if I have 3 people, 6 saw automatically used up, and therefore I have leeway up to 8 saw. What it means is that when I have 3 people, they get as much as they need for their utensils. Their utensils may not require 6 saw, and in fact if their utensils only require 5 saw and they take 7 saw, that means they took 2 more saw than they're entitled to, because we look at the kalim to make the decision what is and what isn't needed, and therefore it will not be acceptable. Continues the Gemara, Itma Shalosha. If we began with 3 people in the area, and as we're saying now, that if you have more than 3 people, you could have 6 saw generally, because the way Rashi learns the Gemara, we're following Rabbi Yehuda's psak that only for 3 people, and Rabbi Yehuda certainly agrees with this, that our shayara there is a heterim, and therefore if we're down from 3 people to 2 people because one of them died, so no longer do we have the heter of a shayara. Or vice versa, the Gemara is going to ask. If we started with 2 people that don't have the status of a shiura, and now one more person comes, so the question is, does the heter now begin or not? The other Rishonim say that the Gemara's question could be even going according to Rabbanon, because even the Rabbanon hold that you're not going to have more than 2 saw vacant, and now if somebody dies, so you might not have had originally vacant area, but not because of his death you have vacant area, or vice versa, you had a situation where you had too few people and that's why you had vacant area, and now you have more room and now more people came and you have no vacant area. So Itma Shloishi began with 3 people who have the status of a shiara, or Meis Echmem, one of them dies, so you no longer have a shiara, or Shnayim, you started with 2 that don't have the status of a shiara, but now you have one more and you have the status of a shiara. What is the halacha? Says the Gemara, Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak. It's Machloikis Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak. Charama, one says, Shabbos Goy Remes. We look at what was the situation at the beginning of Shabbos. If at the beginning of the Shabbos this is acceptable, it's fine for the rest of Shabbos. Or vice versa. The Charama, and one says, the Yudin Garmin. We look at how many people are there currently. The fact that what was at the beginning of Shabbos doesn't really have a role in what is right now. So we have 2 shitas. One says we look at the beginning of Shabbos, and one says we look at what is the situation right now. It's a machloikis, Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak, but we don't know who holds what. Says the Gemara, I bring your raya. Tistayim, the Rav Huna, who the Amish Shabbos Karemis. The Rav Huna is the mandama that says we look at what was the status at the beginning of Shabbos. Domer Rava. Boy, me Rav Huna, I asked Rav Huna the following question. Or boy, me Rav Huda. I also ask the same question from Yehuda. Erev Derech HaPesach, that if you have two chatzeres that have a door in between them, so the halacha is that in order to be able to carry in each chatzer, and also to be able to carry from one chatzer to the other, an Eruv chatzeres has to be made. So you need two things. You need a door, or as the Gemara says, Derech Chaloin, you need a window. And now, v'nistam ha-pesach, v'nistam chaloin, the window closes up, or the door closes up. What is the halacha? V'amali, and they both answer me the same way, Shabbos, hoyavu hutra hutra. Once it became mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, it remains mutter for the rest of Shabbos. To stay, so here we see, the Rav Huna is the man that says, Shabbos goyremes. So the way Rashi explains this Gemara, is that the issue is not about carrying in each chatzur itself. Certainly, even if the door was closed or the window was closed, you'll be allowed to carry in each chatzur, because now there's no window and no door. So no matter how you look at it, you're fine. If you consider the window and door still in existence, so there's an erev in existence, so you could carry in each chatzur. If, on the other hand, you say that the window and door don't exist anymore, so each chatzar now is a totally private area, and therefore you also could carry in each chatzar individually. That's how Rashi and Ravid learn. The discussion in this Gemara is, can you carry from one chatzar to the other chatzar? And Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, paskening that since there was an erev and an open door or open window at the beginning of Shabbos, it retains the heter for the entire Shabbos, even though the window or the door are no longer there. The Rambam learns, and the Ravid asks many questions on the Rambam, that of the carrying between the chatzeris, if the door collapses or the window collapses, a zikr asr, certainly asr. The question is about carrying in each chatzer or each chatzer individually. Again, that's not the way we learned the Gemara, but it's the Rambam Shita. Lahalocha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody made an erev between chatzeris, they have a door, and they make the Erev, you don't have to make a new Erev every Shabbos. They made the Erev that should last for a year, and then that door gets closed up during the week, and it's opened up on Shabbos, even if it was deliberately closed, and even if it was not opened before Shabbos, it was only opened on Shabbos, the halach is that you'll be able to carry from one chatzah to the other. Why? Since when the Erev was created, it was a good Erev. So even though during the week there was a span where the Erev was not effective because the door was closed up, if right now the Erev is effective because the doors are open, there is no question. The Shulchan Aruch says you could carry from one to the other, even if it was closed up during the week. Continues the Gemara. Lema, should we say the Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak, the Machlokas Rav Huna Rav Yitzchak, do we say Shabbos Goremes or the Urim Garmin? Is a Machlokas Rav Yosi Rav Yehud, Beplukta Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Kamifkli? It should be Machlokas that we have regarding between Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Dalet, Chotzer Shenifritzim Shteiru Chosel, a Chotzer that was breached on two of the sides on Shabbos, and therefore is no longer considered enclosed. So the way the Gemara explains this Mishnah later in the Masechta is that the breach was at the corner. And as we learned already, Ein Pesach B'Keren Zavis, there are no doors by a corner. So even if the breach is less than 10 amos wide, it's considered a pirtza, and the chatzer is no longer considered enclosed. Similarly by a house, V'Kein Bayis, you have a house Shenifritz Mishtei Ruchasav that has this type of a breach. V'kein Mavi or a Mavi Shenitlu Kairoisav Lechayav, that the Kaira, the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, that the Kaira or the Lechi was removed, still Mutarim Lais on Shabbos, it's permitted to carry within these areas on Shabbos. It's just for Asurim Lassa Lavi Divir Rev Yehuda. Rev Yosi Aymer, Rev Yosi says, Im Mutarim Lais on Shabbos, If it's mutter for the Shabbos, matarim lasad lavay, it'll always be mutter. V'masurim lasad lavay, if you can't carry there in the future because it's no longer enclosed, so therefore asurim lasad Shabbos, even this Shabbos, you can't carry there. So the Gemara wants to say that Rabbi Yehuda, who and Rav Huna, whose makel over here, will hold like Rabbi Yehuda, whose makel over there, and Rabbi Yitzchak, whose machmer in our Gemara, will hold like Rabbi Yossi, whose machmer in that Gemara. Lame Rav Huna Domek Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Huna holds like Rabbi Yehuda. You can be makel in both situations. Rabbi Yitzchak Domek Rabbi Yossi. Omlach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, another Amri Afila Rabbi Yossi. My position can concur even with Rabbi Yossi. I can't come Rabbi Yossi Hassam. You know why Rabbi Yossi was machmer there? The less mula mechitzis. You don't have an enclosed area. So since you don't have an enclosed area, that's why you certainly can't carry in an area that's not enclosed. Hacha, but in Algamar, it's no mechitzis. You have an enclosed area. The only issue is the door existing or not existing. So therefore, we can be makel. And Rabbi Yitzchak Amalach, on the contrary, another Amri Afil Rabbi Yehuda, I can concur even with Rabbi Yehuda, who's makel by the breached chatzar or house or mavi. Because at Kan Lekam Rabbi Yehuda Hassam, at this in the Urim, nothing changed regarding with the necessary amount of people living there. Hacha, but in our case, less than the Urim, you don't have the right amount of people. You started with three, and now you're down to two. In other words, the machlokes between the Gemara saying is between the Rabbi Yitzchak and Rav Huna could be what is the most cogent factor in the heter. Is the cogent factor the mechitzis, which still exists, or is the cogent factor the urim, with the amount of inhabitants which no longer exist? Then the Mishnah answered, ended the Chum Oimer Echem Shnei Dvarim. The Chum said that any inferior wall, if it has horizontal or vertical components, is considered a legitimate partition. Ask the Gemara, as we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah yesterday, the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah are saying the exact same thing as the Tanakama who was arguing Rabbi Yehuda, where the Rabbi Yehuda said loy dibru, that this heter was b'sheyara dibru, only by a sheyara. The Mishnah only mentioned sheyara because that's the normal situation. So we see that the Chacham already at the beginning say the same thing as the Chacham at the end. So ask the Gemara, why do I have to mention the sheet of the Chachamim twice in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Ikibnai Yochab Yishuv. The difference between the two Chacham in the Mishnah is what's going to be the halacha about inferior partitions in an inhabited area. So the way Rashi in the Ritva explained is as follows. Rabbi Yehuda was talking about a Shiyara. Shiyara is a caravan. Where's a caravan? A caravan travels in an uninhabited area. And Rabbi Yehuda says that in order to have the heter of poor mechitzis, you have to have two qualifications. Number one, it has to be an uninhabited area. And number two, it has to be shiyara. It has to be a group. Sarech HaChamim, no. If it's an uninhabited area, I don't care how many people there are. It's mutter. The second time the Chachamim are speaking to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda didn't differentiate between inhabited or uninhabited areas. He said that this type of mechitza is an unacceptable mechitza. Even in an inhabited area, it's an unacceptable mechitza. Kol mechitza she'ena shel shesi v'shel erev ena mechitza. No difference where it is. The Chachamim who argue in Rabbi Yosef Yehuda tell him, you don't differentiate between a inhabited and an uninhabited area and always say it's not good. We also don't differentiate. But how don't we differentiate? We always say it is good. So that's the machlokes. What's going to be the halacha on an inferior partition in an inhabited area? The Tanakhama is going to say, since it's inhabited, it's not acceptable. And the second Chacham I'm going to hold, it makes no difference, it's always acceptable. Continues the Mishnah. Arba Dvarim Pitru B'machna. There are four things Chazal said that in an army camp, during a war, we could be makel on. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi identifies, not in our Gemara, but the Gemara in the Yerushalmi identifies, first of all, how many people are in the camp. So some, one man Dhamma says there were 12,000, one man Dhamma says 100, and another man Dhamma says 10. And the Rambam paskins like the man Dhamma that says 10. Also, how big of an area are we talking about? So the Rishonim say that the area we're talking about is an area of 70 amma. So the halach is that in this army camp, Mavin Eitz Mikam Mokim, soldiers could bring wood from any place, or Beturim Rechitz Yadayim, they don't have to wash before they eat, or Medamai, Chazal said that if you buy produce from an Amoritz, you have to suspect that they did not take off Trumas Maisris, it's called Demai, we have to take off our own, or Mal Arav, and there's no requirement for making an Arav, we're talking about what kind of Arav we're talking about. Tanabonin. So learned in a brisa. Machna hayoytzis l'mechemes harishos. An army that goes out for discretionary war, which is most wars that were gone out for. Mitarim begezel eitzim yaveshim. The soldiers are permitted to take dry wood. Rav Yudah ben Taimer, af b'chayin b'kal mokim, they could set up camp in any place. Or mokim sh'neregu sham nekvarim. And where they are killed, that's where they're buried. So now the Gemara starts to analyze the various dinim mentioned in this brisa. Mitarim begezel eitzim yaveshim, the brisa said they're allowed to take dry wood. Ask the Gemara, hay takanta di Yeshuahi. We don't need a special leniency for people in war. Yeshua, when he divided up Eretz Yisrael, allowed for this. Domamar, the Gemara Masechta Bava Kama says, Asara Tanoim. Yeshua made 10 conditions when he divided Eretz Yisrael. Shimarim b'choshim. The halacha is people could pasture their animals in an area where there are woods and a forest, even if they're privately owned, because people don't generally harvest anything from our forest. Umlakten etzim, so they're saying people could gather wood from fields owned by others. So anybody could gather wood from somebody else's field. What's the special dispensation here? Answered the Gemara, Hasam, Yeshua's rule refers to his mi behigi. It refers to low bushes, which are generally not that valuable. Hacha, the special heta that applies to the army, is bisharetzim, other type of wood, even other wood. Inami, furthermore, this is the way Tosafot learns the Gemara, Hasam amechubarim. Yeshua refers only to to wood that's still connected to the ground. This heter, hacha betoloshim, this heter even applies to wood that's already cut. Because again, once it's cut, it shows that the owner wants it, so we can't take it. Another difference, inami, hasam belachim. Yeshua is talking about moist wood, which is not that valuable for firewood because it's moist. Hacha, here we're talking about yaveshim, even dry wood. So the way we're trying to explain is that you have all of them together. Yeshua's heter only applied to low, connected, moist wood. And the soldiers could take any type of wood. Rabbi Yehuda ben Taimaimer, Afkan b'kal mokim, they take camp in any place, over mokim sh'naragim sham nekbarim, and where they're killed, that's where they're buried. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, meis mitzvahu, as somebody who killed is a meis mitzvah, and Allah, a meis mitzvah is somebody, as we're going to learn on top of Amid Beis, who has nobody to take care of him. Or meis mitzvah, kana mekaymai. A meis mitzvah, the place where he's found, that's where he's buried. And the way the Chazon Ish explains the Gemara is as follows. There are two ways of understanding, says the Chazon Ish, the halacha of meis mitzvah, kana mekaymai. One way of understanding it is that the Torah was concerned that nobody's going to want to care for a meis mitzvah, to carry him to a grave, to carry him to a cemetery. So they said, meis mitzvah, kana mekaymai, you can bury him where you find him. Another way, explains the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says that's the right way of learning, and that's pshat in this Gemara, is not that it's optional. If you want, carry him to a cemetery. If you want, leave him where he is. The Chazanis says the halach is you must bury him there. Because since we're concerned that if the halacha won't be that you have to bury him where he's found, people won't take care of the mace. So Chazal said, bury him there. So the Gemara's conscious, what am I making a special rule? That they can be buried there. He has to be buried there. And it says the Gemara, Letzricha, Afogav, we're talking a case, this like Kovrim. He has somebody to take care of him. So he's not a mace mitzvah. The takana was that even a soldier who's not a mace mitzvah is buried in his spot. The Tanya, Ezer mace mitzvah, what is considered a mace mitzvah? Kosha ain't like Kovrim. Somebody who has nobody to bury him. Kore, if he calls out, v'cheim oinu esoy, and there's somebody else that answers, ain't a mace mitzvah. So the way the Rabbeinu Peretz explains the Gemara is like this. The halacha is that even though normally a kohen is not allowed to become tamei to a corpse, tamei smitzvah he may. How do I know if this mace, rachmanu letzlan, is a mace mitzvah? If the kohen who finds this mace calls out for help and there's nobody that comes, that's a proof that it's a mace mitzvah. Now, the Gemara said that a mace mitzvah can be buried where he's found. Ask the Gemara, is that true? That mace mitzvah kana mekoymoy, v'tanya ha-moitzi mace mutl b'sratya. If somebody finds a corpse on a main road, mifnei l'min ha-sratya l'smol ha-sratya, he should put him to the right or to the left of the main road. Stay bor, stay near. If one side of the road has a field that's empty and one side has a field that's already plowed, mifneil stay bor, put them on the empty field. Stay near, stay zera. If one side has a plowed field and one field has a field that already is planted, mifneil stay near, put them on the plowed field. Hoy shteim nearest, if they're both identical, they're both plowed, shteim zera, they're both planted, shteim bor, they're both empty, mifneil l'chol shad shiritza. You can put them on any side. So we see here that a mace mitzvah is not always automatically buried where he's found. Here we're dealing with a corpse that's found along the width of the road between two boundaries. Since we have a right to move him, it should be moved from here. Because as the Gemara explains, because Kohanim who are walking here, we want to prevent, should not, and this is a main road, should not walk on this mace and become Tameh, which they're not allowed to, on this grave. So once we're moving him, the halacha is mefnei l'chol ruach shiritza. As far as the halacha l'maisa, the Taz and Shach say that nowadays, if there's a mace mitzvah, rachman tzlan, he should be buried in a cemetery and not be left on the road, even though the halach is mace mitzvah kind of mekaymai. Since we're concerned that he may come to be abused if he just left not in a cemetery, that's why we allowed to take him to a cemetery. Furthermore, the Chazanis says the same halach applies to a soldier, that even though the Gemara says that one of the takanas Chazal was that a soldier who's unfortunately killed is allowed to be buried where he is, still, we don't leave him there because the family will not be happy that he's not in a cemetery and ultimately will want to remove him from such a place and put him into a cemetery. So to avoid the evil of unburying him, of exhuming him and taking him to a cemetery, we're allowed to take him to a cemetery in the first place. So we learned the Patur Merchitzas Yadayim. The soldiers don't have to wash before they eat. Omra Baya, Lo Yishon Ela Mayim Rishonim. This halacha is only regarding washing before eating. Av Mayim Achronim, regarding washing after the meal, Chayva, that they have to wash. But the Mishnah Berurah points out that even though we're exempting them from Mayim Rishonim, they should wrap their hands in something with gloves or with some sort of material when they eat. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the same that if somebody is in a Mokum Sakana, where he can't get water to wash Mayim Rishonim, he could eat without washing, but he has to wrap his hands while he's eating. Amar Chibarashi, so the Gemara is saying this: the exemption only applies to Mayim Rishonim, not to Mayim Achronim. Explains the Gemara why are we more machmer with Mayim Achronim? Neima Amar Mayim Achronim Chayva. Why do we say Mayim Achronim is so obligatory? Nei Shemel Stoyim Yesh Mesamis Enayim. So the way the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos explain is at the end of the meal, they used to dip their fingers in salt. And in the salt, you could have Melech Sodomis, which is a very potent salt, which could cause blindness. And therefore, they were very insistent that you have to wash your hand after the meal. The damaging salt is found only of one grain in a core of salt. It's a very small amount, but still very dangerous. What's the halach of somebody's measuring salt? Does he also have to wash the salt? There's no question that he certainly has to wash his hands, because if he's touching the salt, he could unfortunately hurt his eyes. Says Tosfos that this could be the reason why we're not so machmer on Mayim Achronim nowadays. Since, says Tosfos, number one, we don't have the minig of dipping our hands into salt at the end of the meal. And furthermore, our salt, says Tosfos, doesn't have Melech Sodomis. We don't have to be machmer so much on Mayim Achronim. The Ritva disagrees, and the Ritva says that not only is there such a halacha that the Mara says, the Viskadishtem, the Pasuk says Viskadishtem Elamayim Rishonim V'yisem Kedoshim Elamayim Achroinim. So we see that the basis for Mayim Achroinim and the Raisa nothing to do with Melech Sodomis. So certainly Mayim Achroinim has to be washed, even if there is no Melech Sodomis. The only thing the Ritva says, there may be a difference between the person who's leading the benching and everybody else. However, the Gra, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that it is possible that there still is Melech Sodomis amongst us, and certainly everybody should wash Mayim Achroinim. And the Mishnah Berurah says to that extent that, let's say somebody has only a limited amount of water, he should use less water for Mayim Rishonim in order that he should have left over Mayim Achroinim. And the Sa'as HaTshuvas, Tshuvas Min HaShamayim, says that he asked regarding this Tosfos that there isn't such a requirement about Mayim Achroinim nowadays. Is that true? And he answered, and he says he got an answer from Hashemayim that Mayim Rishonim v'Achroinim Dover Shebegedusha Hu, both Mayim Rishonim and Achroinim are Dover Shebegedusha, v'Kol Dover Shebegedusha, anything that's Dover Shebegedusha, Hamekel Boy, if somebody doesn't treat it respectfully, he says a stark lashon, a very sharp language, makilaloi yomav vishnoisov, that his life is not valuable. Umedamai, we said that soldiers are allowed to eat demai. The Tanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, machilim asanim demai, we're allowed to give poor people demai, v'sachsanya demai. Achsanya are soldiers that the townspeople were obligated to feed, says the Mishnah that you're allowed to give them the mai. Now there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos who these soldiers are. Rashi says these soldiers are Jewish soldiers that still they're allowed to eat the mai. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that the soldiers are goyim. Ask Tosfos if they're goyim, what's the question? A goy is not also to eat something for which trumas and maestris were not removed. So Tosfos says that I would think, since the halacha is that you're not allowed to do business, you're not allowed to have a hanor from tevel, so if I'm dispensing my obligation to feed the soldiers by gemai, I'm having hanor from tevel, and it should be asur. That's what the Mishnah teaches us. That's what the Gemara teaches us, that you're not allowed to have hanor from tevel, but you are allowed to have hanor from gemai. Amrav Huna Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Beshamayim Emachil Masadunayim Demai, we're not allowed to give poor people Demai, Vesachsani Demai, nor can we give it to soldiers. Vesachsani Emachil Masadunayim Demai, we could give it to poor people, Vesachsani Demai. Ask Tosfos, if the halacha is like Beis Hillel, why does our Gemara have to tell us Beshamay Shita? So Tosfos says, the reason is that if we'll ever find a Shita in Shas that says that we're not allowed to give poor people or soldiers, traveling soldiers, demai, will know that that's Shitas Beis Shammai, whom we don't paskin like. This Gemara leads itself to questions that if somebody has poor people coming to his house, is he allowed to be makel on certain foods which are certainly kosher? You can't give a Jew something which is not kosher, but something that a person is not machmer on, are you allowed to give it to him? And moreover, even if you are allowed to give it to him, are you obligated to tell him that you're giving him something that he may be machmir, that he normally doesn't eat? Interestingly enough, the Shaila Meshev says that you don't even have to tell him if you're giving it to him because he's a poor person, he's eating stock in your house. Many Paiskim, including the Chidah, disagree, and they say, of course you have to tell him. He may have a right to eat it because he's a poor person, he has nothing else to eat, but you have to inform him what it is. Umal Arev. We learned in the Mishnah that they don't have to make an Erev. Amr Deber Yanai, what kind of Erev are we talking about? Lo Shana Ela Erev Uchatzeris. We're only referring to Ruvei Chatzeris. So the Avni Neza points out that there's a machloikis Rashi in Tosfos when we say that they don't have to have even an Eruv Chatzeris. What does that mean? So Rashi says that Avni Neza says the Rashi is learning Pshat that we have Chatzeris that have doors open one to the other, which as we've learned, if you want to be able to carry from one chatzah to the other, you need to make an Erev. Here, we waive that requirement. But if there's no door between the chatzeris, Rashi will say that even in an army camp, you can't carry from one chatzah to the other. The Rambam, says the Avni Nezer, disagrees and says that in an army camp, you can carry even from one chatzah to another chatzah, even if there are no doors open from one to the other. But Aruvit Chumim, says the Gemara Chayovim, that they're going to have to have the Tani Reb Chia, like an Aruvit Chumim Dvar Torah. You get Malkus if somebody walks out of the Tchum. So we see that Chumim Amidaraisa, so Chazal don't have the right to waive that requirement. So there's a Machloikus Rishonim how to approach this Gemara. Who is the man the Omer that holds the Tchum Amidaraisa? Rabbi Kiva, says the Ramban, according to us, according to Rabbanon, who disagree with Rabbi Kiva, that Tchumim Amid Rabbanon, so just like Chazal waived the need for Ruvei Chatzeris, so too will they waive the need for Ruvei Tchumim. Because the Ramban says that this Shita, that the Chachom agree that the Tchumim, maybe not by 2,000 Amma, by 12 mil, is a Yerushalmi that's not quoted anywhere in the Bavli, and therefore the Rabbanon completely hold that Tchumim under all circumstances are only a Rabbanon, and therefore Aruvei Tchumim will have the same din as Aruvei Chatzeris. And actually the Gra, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gra, also says that Tchumim under all circumstances may be only a Rabbanon. The Rif says that there's a difference between Tchumim of 2,000 Amma and Tchumim of 12 mil. Tchumim of 2,000 Amma are the according to Bekiva, is a Daraisa. According to Rabbanon, is only the Rabbanon. And therefore, says the Rif, on the Tchumim of 2,000 Amma, you could waive it in an army camp, but you cannot waive Tchumim of 12 mil. Anyway, it wouldn't make a difference because Aruvei Tchumim don't work for 12 mil. That's how the Rif learns. The Ravid has a third Shita. The Ravid says again that the Machloikis of the Kiva Rabbanon is only regarding Tchumim of 2,000 Amma, but Tchumim of 12 mil, says the Ravid, everybody agrees is Midaraisa. But says the Ravid, therefore the Rabbanon will not be Mako on a Ruvit Tchumim even by 2,000 Amma. I, the Rabbanon by 2,000 Amma, says the Ravid, hold it's only with Rabbanon. But since it's a concept, says the Ravid, Shiyesh loy ikar min ha-Torah, that is grounded in a Daraisa, because by 12 mil it's a Daraisa, so Chazal will not be Mekel even by 2,000 Amma, and therefore the Rabbanon will agree with Rabbi Kiva that we don't dispense Aruvei Tchumim, we only dispense Aruvei Chatzeris in an army camp. Maskula Rabbi Yonason, so Rabbi Yonason asks, V'chiloikin alav shebal, according to Bekiva, Tchumim adaraisa. Where in the Torah does it say Tchumim? It says, Al yeitzei ish v'mekoimai b'yayim shvi. So the Torah, when it tells us that you're not allowed to walk outside the Tchum, doesn't use the word loy, the Torah uses the word al. So do we give Malkus for such a laugh that you said before the Tani Reb Chiya loikin al Ruvei Tchumim Dvar Torah? Maskula Racha, but Yaakov, the Gemara says, Elam Ata Diksiv Atifna Oivisvel Yudoinim, where the Torah says that you're not allowed to do all types of Kishuf, Oivisin Yudoinim, Hochanam Deloiloki. Do you want to think that you won't get Malkus, even though it says the word Al? The fact that the Torah uses the word Al to indicate the Lav is not a reason to say that you don't get Malkus. Ask Tosis, but obviously Yudoinim are Lav Shem B'Maisa, because only through magic that's spoken through the mouth. So Tosis says that either this man Dharma holds that you get Malkus for Lav Shem B'Maisa, or that this man Dharma holds that Akimas Fasayim speaking have a Maisa is considered a Maisa. But we're back to where we started. Why shouldn't you get Malkus? The fact that it says Al is not a reason. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonason Hachik Kashalei. This was Rabbi Yonason's question. Lav shenitin l'shoros mises bezdin. The pasuk of Al, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The pasuk of Al Yetzi Ish M'Kaimai refers to two lavim. One is the lav that we're speaking about, according to Bekiva, of Tchumim, and the other thing it refers to is carry. What we spoke about many times in Masechta Shabbos, that you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos. Now there's a fundamental difference between these two lavin. If somebody chas v'shalom carries in Shabbos b'mezid, he's mechuyev misa. If somebody goes outside the tchum, even according to Rabbi Akiva, who considers the tchum a d'oraisa, he will not get misa. Says the Gemara, every aveira in the Torah requires an ashara, requires a warning that you're not allowed to do it. What is the warning for tchumim? This pasuk of Al Yetzi Ish M'Kaimai Yom Yishvi. But if the pasuk, explained the Rishonim in Rashi, if the pasuk is also coming to teach me about an aveira for which Chas V'Sholem there could be a chiyuv misa, we can't use that pasuk to be a warning for an aveira which only will carry Malkus. The kolam shenitin l'asharis mises bezdin, any pasuk that's used that to teach us that there's an aveira for which you will get misa, ain't like in love, cannot be used to teach us that you'll get Malkus for an aveira. So I'm back to where we started. Why do you get Malkus? You can't get Malkus unless the Torah gives you a pasuk that's an ashara, that if you'll do this aveira, you get Malkus. And I don't have such a pasuk for tchumim. Aravashi, miksiv al yoytzi. If the pasuk would say al yoytzi, you're not allowed to carry, says Ravashi. So it could say this pasuk is teaching us you're not allowed to carry, and since you're not allowed to carry, that's what the pasuk is teaching us. That would be the primary limit of this pasuk, and it could not be used for something else. It says al yoytzi ksiv. So the primary point of the pasuk is to teach us that you're not allowed to walk out of the tchum. If that's the primary point of the pasuk, even if the pasuk maybe also teaches us about carrying, but you can't ignore the primary purpose, and therefore it's not considered a lav shnitin l'asaros mises bezdin. The pasuk is considered a pasuk that teaches us you're not allowed to go out of the tchum, according to Bekiva, and therefore you will get Malkus for it. Harun lachmavi, harun lachmavi, harun lachmavi.